Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Deadline City. We are your hosts. I'm Zoraida Cordova.
And I'm Danielle Clayton.
Where are we going today, Danielle?
Our asses are going back to the burnout burrow. This is part two.
This is burnout burrow, part two. Extra crispy.
Extra crispy. I think the last time we did an episode like this, it was October of 2020.
Yeah. So, like, right after the pandemic had started. I think 6 months in.
And have we learned anything?
No.
No. Has anything changed?
No.
No. Have we gotten better at work-life balance?
I'm getting better.
Are you?
I think so.
Why don't you tell the truth to the listeners? The last book you turned in. Let's tell everyone how that went.
All right. So let's identify burrow. Signs of burnout. Signs of burnout. Let's identify.
Okay. So how do we know that we're burnt out?
Okay.
Still.
What does burnt out look like to you?
For me, it looks like I don't want to get up and get to it. So I don't want to, or I'll linger in bed. So one of the signs, I guess a sign of depression too, but I'll wake up in the morning. It'll be like 8:30. And I won't get out of bed until 10 because I'm doom scrolling, doing everything else. And it's because I'm avoiding the writing and the emails and the phone calls. And I just feel like I don't have an entry point into them. And mind you, I can't go watch television and decompress and actually enjoy it because the burnout I'm feeling and the deadlines are still chasing me. So they're in my emotional ether. So I can't even relax. So, cause I'm constantly being like, you should be writing, you should be writing, you should be writing when I want to watch television.
Sure.
So that's what it looks like, where I don't want to do anything, or I get such anxiety about going and doing something fun because I feel guilty.
Right.
And so then I don't enjoy it. Like, I can't go to this dinner.
No, I can't go. I can't go to this book event.
Right.
I
can't go to the movies. I can't go see that. I haven't finished my work.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I feel like part of it is like anxiety and stuff. So some signs of burnout, exhaustion. I've heard isolation, but I don't really know if I always feel. I think maybe the isolation for me is like feeling like I'm in this by myself, but then I remember that I'm not.
Right. I think it's also isolating yourself out of things, right? We don't, you know, during your birthday, you had a week from hell of deadlines.
Yeah. I had an entire week. I did not leave my apartment.
Right. And you were working through your birthday and like, I felt like you were feeling isolated because you couldn't do the things you wanted to do. You couldn't go to any events. We couldn't have a birthday dinner. You couldn't do anything. So you were then isolated.
Yeah.
In your little hole.
Yeah. Escape fantasies is another sign.
Oh, so every podcast episode we've ever had since the beginning of Deadline City, basically where you say that you want to run off into the woods and hide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Burnout. Okay. Great. It's good to know.
Okay. Irritability.
Oh, that's both of us every day.
Yeah.
Fuss.
And then frequent illness.
Yeah.
It's another sign of burnout.
I think for me, the way that illness manifests in my body is my stomach. I carry my nerves in my stomach. So I'll have an upset stomach. I'll have heartburn, indigestion, because stress plus food to me triggers and flares, you know what I mean? All things bowel related to my disease and all that. And inflammation. And my joints also start to hurt.
Right.
So.
I stress eat and then I feel sick.
Okay.
Because of being burned out. But like, but we're talking about being burned out and then working while being burned out.
Yeah.
Right?
Working through
the burnout, which is, it is the equivalent of running a 5K when you have a sprained ankle.
Yeah.
And you're like, if I just go slow enough, I'll get to the end. And that could physically be possible, but you're going to have a bigger injury at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. You could potentially have a fracture or your whole ankle is going to be like swollen up really bad.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I've got like when the pandemic started, we already had a million deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, and part of the reason why we've had to take off is because everything just got compacted.
Yeah.
Right. Everything is just one thing on top of the other. Even today, I'm already thinking like, there are three things I couldn't do today.
Yep.
Because I want, but like, I wanted to make time to record.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the, after a couple of my most recent deadlines, I had several weeks from hell where the week of my birthday, I had basically like 2 weeks to edit a book.
Yeah.
And so I take a very long time to get into it. Because
she calls me, she's spinning around.
I'm like, this book sucks. This book sucks. Yep. Like they hate it. I don't know what to do. They hate the book. You know, these notes are making me stressed.
She spirals.
I tailspin. I'm like a little whirlpool of anxiety. And then I get to it. And then I sit down and I start editing and I start writing. And what happened during that time, during that editing week, was I just wouldn't sleep. And I wouldn't leave the house. And there was like 3 days where I barely showered. I just like popped into the bath, the shower stall, and like right back out. Like, I'm like, I have 2 seconds.
Because every road leads to the words.
Yeah. And I felt like I just couldn't, if I wasn't sitting at my desk, it was like time loss. I couldn't eat, right? Which is why my friends sent me food. And to a certain extent, like I would get to a point where I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to have to stay through the night. And then I still wasn't finished. And so I would sleep for 4 hours and then stay through the night again and like do another, you know, 20 hours of work and then get 4 hours of sleep. And then, and just, it was like that
rinse and repeat.
day, like an entire week, like not even joking, like an entire week where I just slept for 4 hours a day. And there are people whose like legit lives are like this.
Yes.
And they do manual labor.
Yes.
And they have to be awake.
Yes.
And so it feels like, it almost feels like a luxury to complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, was my life this past summer. And then I got the notes back right away and I had like 10 days to complete a copy edit. And it was just, and then I drank 9 espresso shots in one day. And
y'all, I was so stressed.
I was seeing the shadows move in the walls.
Look, I was so stressed because I would call and check in or I wouldn't hear from her for a few days. And I'd be like, oh my God. My friend.
She's dead.
She's left me here. But I knew that if she was gone, she would haunt me and I would know immediately. I was so worried because also, I mean, 9 espressos. I have never had a cup of coffee. I've had a scoop of coffee ice cream.
So there was one day where I ordered 3 triple shots of espresso from Dunkin' Donuts. Because at that point, the only thing that delivered at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is when I would wake up to sit down and write, was Dunkin' Donuts. My heart, my chest is squeezing just at the thought of it right now.
Yeah, and mind you, she's been feeling this squeeze in her heart for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 4.
Since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
a manifestation of stress in your body.
Yeah, it's stress. And so I earlier this year in May, I got some like heart work done. I got like a cardiogram and an echogram where like they like see through like your heart, like they're seeing, looking at a baby.
Yeah.
And everything came back normal. And they're like, I felt like I was being gaslit, right? Like,
right. Like
you're normal. Your heart is fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And I'm like, all right, fine. And meanwhile, I'm like here thinking I'm having a heart attack like every month.
And it's so, stress and anxiety, friends.
So I ordered this like 9 shot. And it came in like a regular cup and it was just like sewage, like tar.
Ew.
Right?
Sludge.
It was sludge.
Ugh.
And I drank it. I drank the whole thing.
Sarita.
Throughout the day. I would add some milk, some ice, some sugar. It was disgusting. Disgusting. But you know what? I turn in that book. I don't have any memory. I don't even know if it's good. I'm tailspinning again right now. So And then like after I haven't wanted to write.
Yeah. It took all my words.
Like it took all my words. So like 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, I've taken the entire month of August basically off.
I think that you didn't take it off. I think you were forced to. I think you're well was depleted.
I'm still doing other things, right? Yeah. I'm working on short stories. I'm working on like contracts. I'm catching up with the IRS.
The IRS.
They're like, we haven't heard from you in a while.
Right, exactly.
You owe some money. And I'm like, God damn it. You know, I'm like, there's things that need to be done.
But in terms of creating.
Mm-hmm, in terms of creating.
Yeah.
It has been, I feel like a used towel.
Thank God you said towel, because I did not know what you were about to say.
Oh. Yes.
Like a shell of yourself.
A shell of myself. A prophylactic of myself.
Oh, no. I just, yeah. I really think that our bodies also give us our limits, and your brain will just be like, you know, enough.
Your brain shuts down. I feel like if we listened to the last episode, we'd probably be saying the same things, except we got worse. How did we get worse? We kept promising, oh, we're going to take it easy. Oh, we're going to be kinder. Oh, we're going to be da-da-da-da.
Worse. I got absolutely worse. Terrible. I thought I was going to like segment my day and all that. The one good thing that I feel proud of that I did do was that I am doing more exercise, because mostly, and it's not, you know, aesthetics, of course, you got to tighten up this, you know what I mean? After being sedentary and stuck in our homes for 3 years, that is of a concern, but really it's because I have to knock myself out. So when I am in that burnout hamster wheel, and I still have things to do, and I'm working through, right? Instead of the 9 shots of espresso, I'm on this sort of, my adrenaline is really high. And I'm like, I just got to do the next thing. I just have to write the next chapter. I have to keep going, to where I can't sleep. It creates an insomnia. So part of the working out for me is to work out at like 7 or 8 or between then, or sometimes
at night.
At night, mm-hmm. Or even 8 to 9.
Yeah.
RIP, my neighbors below. But, So that my brain gets tired and my body is tired.
So then it's like I can't get sleep.
Exactly. So then I can kind of knock myself out like a fucking toddler, where I'm like, and maybe it's to get rid of the stress hormones that are creating the ultra focus, because I know I have a deadline, but it knocks me out because then my body hurts. And I'm like, ooh, let me just lay to the side here for a second, and then she gone. Like, and then I'm out, you know? And so it just sucks that I can trick myself into feeling so stressed out that it makes me stay awake, that I can't sleep. You know how much I love to be asleep.
I love sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
I like, my bed is my sanctuary. I have nice sheets. I have a velvet duvet. Okay.
Not
I have
velvet.
I have 17 porgs.
Velvet?
Yeah.
That's hot. It is the summertime.
It's like chenille, like.
Oh, it's like what I have on mine.
Kind of.
Okay.
It's not like true velvet. Mm-hmm. But also the AC is running. You love your apartment to be 7 degrees.
It's not.
Below zero.
It's 70 degrees.
It's mac hole, guys.
It's really not. When she stayed over here with me, this bitch, she was rolled up in a cover as if she was in the Arctic, honey.
Like, I was in the Arctic.
She literally, from head to toe, was covered in stuff. I was like, bitch, it is not even cold like that. Like, what is happening? It was crazy. Remember when you took that Benadryl and you fell asleep talking? Yes. So Zoraida also doesn't nap. And so for me, one of my coping mechanisms for burnout is an afternoon nap.
Like your body shuts down.
Exactly.
And this happened to me.
Okay. And so I think she needed a Benadryl or something. She's having an allergic reaction. Look, she starts talking to me and I look over and she's on her back. Like, literally, almost like a bug that has died. Legs and arms up. Cover, like, coming overhead. She was talking, y'all. She was talking to
And then
me.
I climbed onto the bed to lay down just for a winker. A winker.
It was out, and she never naps. And then woke up talking as if she never went to sleep, like, an hour later. It was the greatest gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Burnout.
So if you don't take care of your body, it will literally shut down for you.
Exactly.
It's like a phone that gets too hot. Right. It's just like shutting down now.
Right. It's like lights out.
And I think like we forget that our brains are computers.
Yeah.
They're just computers made out of noodles and blood. Our brain noodles. And I think that like we have to shut things down.
Yeah.
My coping mechanism is currently disassociation.
So I've seen her do this.
So I'll just write. And then I'm like, okay, now it's my break time because I can't nap.
So this is your form of napping.
So I'll lay down in like a fetal position with my phone. I'll put on a show like that I've watched a million times, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or How I Met Your Mother or Friends or something like that. Like, they're, like, 25-minute episodes. I know exactly what's going to happen, and I just have noise in the background. And then I'll do my New York Times spelling bee puzzle. And that's what I do.
It disassociate.
And I'll time it for, like, 30 minutes. And then I'll get back to work.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But I've seen her also disassociate in real time on a panel. Where she's, like, people are talking nonsense. And then she's sitting there and she's vacant. She's gone. You could like wave your hand in front of her face and she's just smiling and her soul has left her body. I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. It's called survival.
It's good. Versus I'll take a nap. I can nap anywhere. I get cozy. If I get a little too snuggly and warm, if there's a heating pad near, I'm an indoor cat. It's over. If there's a ray of sunshine coming through the window on me, it means it's nap time. And so I have to plan for my naps. And it is a way that I can recharge and get back to it. And I also have just been like, you know what? I can't think my way through this when I'm tired. So like, for example, last night, it was like 1 o'clock. I wanted to write one more chapter. And I said to myself, it's going to be a waste because that one chapter is going to be so bad. You're going to have to rewrite it tomorrow. So just sacrifice the 700 words, go to bed now and get up and write it. Have I written that chapter yet? I have not. However, I do plan to do so because I am terrified of losing my thing, which is my brain.
Yeah.
By mistreating it and not sleeping.
I think that that's one thing that I forget all the time. I'm abusing my body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like pouring junk coffee into it and not sleeping. And by doing that, I'm like, I hate that woo idea that your body is a temple, right? But your body is, your brain is the thing that is creating for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so as writers, we have to protect that space. And so how do we do that?
Right. And having those brain breaks. And for me too, it's taking my glasses off.
Because what if you can't take a break? I can't take a break. We have deadlines through at the end of the year.
We'll have to manage those breaks as small breaks.
Okay.
Versus this delusion that we're going to have a long break. We're Americans. Can't have a
vacation?
We're Americans. Unfortunately, we have to find a way to break the wheel. I'm hoping that when we do take a vacation at the end of the year, it's an actual vacation.
Yeah. I feel like I've had a deadline every December into New Year, and I don't want that this year.
Right.
I'm like, I'm turning this book in right before Christmas, and then you're not going to hear from me until the day after Three Kings Day.
That's really Latino. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Three Kings Day.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm supposed to go on sabbatical 12-1.
Okay.
We'll see if I can do it. I'm going to.
You're a workaholic. I'm a workaholic. But I think it's also the condition, like we've been conditioned, the hustle condition, yes. Right? And I think that we never slowed down during the pandemic and as many of our colleagues didn't because we couldn't.
Right. We didn't have the virtue. Of having someone who can rely on to pay the bills.
Right.
Right.
And Uncle Sam isn't giving freelance writers the same amount.
No.
Right. If anything.
Exactly.
And so you have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we've reached to this point where we're acting like the pandemic is over
but it's not.
But people are still getting sick every day.
And there's had COVID. We literally just had it.
Yeah, I just had COVID. I still have, like, I have allergy asthma because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. You have your antibodies. But, and also we lost days of work because we had to take off to heal from COVID. I could not think when I got COVID mm-hmm. and I had deadlines. I had to take 10 days off. I couldn't remember.
Had to edit while still being sick, while having that horrible cough.
And she sounded, when I tell you, she was worse than Eartha Kitt voice. But the same thing happened to me. As soon as you heard my voice, you were like, oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, no. She kept pretending, y'all. She kept pretending. She was like, no, 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 it's just a cold. It's just a cold.
I thought it was allergies. I thought I was having hay fever, okay? Because I went to a wedding, and I came back, and I was like, oh, it's just hay fever. I was in Florida. It's just hay fever. Wrong. Literally. My editor and I did a Zoom, or like, yeah, it was a Zoom or Google Meet, and she took one look at me and she said, she sent me a private email and she said, my Jewish mother intuition has gone off and I'm pretty sure you have COVID. I know you said you think you have hay fever, but listening to your voice and looking at your eyes, I'm pretty sure you have COVID. Don't you know within 3 hours, the little home test lit up? I was so mad.
Yeah.
And I had to sleep sitting up for 10 days.
I got mine.
And I'm triple vaxxed and still.
Yeah. I got mine in Brazil. Or probably on the plane home from Brazil.
That man was coughing on that plane.
There was everyone around me was just violently coughing. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that person in the zombie movie that knows they're about to get it. And that's a long flight. It is an uncomfortable 8-hour flight. To have when your throat is hurting.
Yeah.
And your head hurts. And you're like, God damn it.
And that happened to you on the flight.
On the flight. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got out, I put on an extra mask and went to CityMD. And my test it came back negative. It didn't light up until it took the full 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the line came through. And then when I took one at home, a couple hours later, it came out instantly.
I know. Oh, mine was like...
It was crazy. Boom. Yeah. And so that's a contributing factor. We are living our lives as if a pandemic isn't raging through the streets, through our economy, throughout everything. And so it's a hard time to be a creator. But... We still have to create.
We still do. We have to pay the bills. And so what we need to get better at, and I'm hoping by this time next year, when we have this conversation, when we have burnout part 3, that we can report that we are better. Mm-hmm. Because we are terrible. It got worse. Not even just halfway worse. It doubled.
It doubled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we cursed ourselves.
What are some tips? Do we have tips?
We don't have tips because we didn't do shit. We didn't even do any of
okay,
it.
Okay, hypothetically.
How do we wish
our daily lives could be?
I wish that I could get up. I struggle. I'm a sleepy bug, so I struggle with mornings. I always have. Mornings are not my favorite time of day. That I could get up and get to it, right? Get up, eat, and sit down at my desk. And be excited and not feel like I'm starting behind every morning. Whether it's delegating, whether it's not going into email, whether it's setting up so that I don't get fewer emails. And figuring out a way to actually block out my time for writing. Because right now, I can be email bombed, call bombed, whatever. Even if I put on my calendar that I'm out of office for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And I will be extra nervous about what has come in those 5 hours that will await me when I come back. On weekends, I can write a ton because no one is calling me. No one is emailing me. I don't feel the same anxiety. I love the end of the year. That's why I write the most between December 18th and Three Kings Day because everyone is forced to slow down because of the prevalence of all those damn winter holidays. So then the whole world is more relaxed.
Okay.
It was my favorite time of year. Even as a child, I felt like I'm free. I'm free. Obligations go away.
Mm-hmm.
I get to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I create the most during that time.
I think that for me, it's a little bit different because I don't have the same volume of emails that you do
because
mm-hmm. I don't run a company.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that for me, I have to get better at balancing, about being honest about my workload when it comes to my editors. Like, I don't communicate to my editors.
I don't either.
All the time.
I need to.
And I've gotten better at that lately because of my new agent.
Who is fabulous.
Who's amazing. And, you know, they're like, okay, well, we'll email. We'll ask for more time. And before, I used to feel like I had to do that. And and so ideally, I would like to be able to write one book a year of my regular work, one IP project, and then something for fun. Because I can't not work on multiple things because my brain is always firing at multiple cylinders, right? And so it's not the amount of work. It's how fast I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My dream is to be able to write a book that is not on schedule. It's just a book that I want to write because I had a great idea and nobody's waiting for it except for me, myself, and I.
And see, I would like to take that last piece where I get to just work on a book. And when it's ready, I have someone waiting to publish it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, right. I have a relationship with a publisher that they have now bought 4 books from me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I finish them, they publish them. That's the dream. I'm 10 years out. 15 years, maybe 20 years from that.
Oh my God, we're going to be old.
Don't you want to be like, no, we don't be like Joyce Carol Oates, but do you writing these books into the grave, honey? You don't want to do that?
I mean, Isabel Allende's still writing books.
Mm-hmm.
She puts out a book every year.
I want to
Year and a half?
Yeah. I want to be able to also, this is really, to be able to write, let's say I have a series, I want to be able to have 3 of the books in the can before the first one comes out. And have a publisher have faith in me and the trajectory of my series that they'll invest up front and then allow me to write those, or at least 2 fully ones, and let them go get them set up marketing wise and I'll be ready to go so that I can stay ahead. I feel like I'm always behind, and that's the feeling that I don't like.
Oh yeah. I always feel like I'm behind too.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to get out of that. I mean, we tell people, we give the advice. Right? Take care of yourself. Be kind to yourself. Do this, this, and that. And it doesn't work out.
So you're saying that we give advice and we don't take it?
Yeah.
Are you saying that what is good for the goose is not good for the gander?
I don't know what that means.
What is good for one should be good for the other.
All of us. Yes. I mean, we all create at different speeds and we all need different things, right? Some authors have a great work-life balance. I'm sure somebody has to exist, right?
Yeah, the people who get paid well enough to only have to write one book a year because they're not dependent on those payments.
Or one book every 3 years.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know also because I was talking to Jennifer or Jessica Brody about this, who's a wonderful writer and has a great masterclass out there if you're interested in leveling up your skills, about my writing process and the fact that for some reason, and I haven't been able to figure this out, let's say I have 6 months to write a first draft or to write a book, right? Those first 3 months, I'm researching, I'm outlining, throwing it out, doing all the story thinking, right? And putzing around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't get to it until maybe 8 weeks before the deadline. And mostly it's because my distractions, I can't stay in my story world for that long. I can only stay in my story world to really get it done. Because most people chip away. They're like, oh, I'll just do a chapter a day.
Can't do it.
I can't do it. I have to be obsessive. and in it to where I can't do anything else but that for those 8 weeks. And that's when I do the bulk. Like I've written 25,000 words in 3 days. And it's not because, you know, it's because I have to be able to be obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Otherwise I can't get it done. Why is that? What was wrong with me?
Why do I need the pressure?
Why do I need it?
I need sort of this like manic writing life where I become obsessive. I become compulsive. Mm-hmm. I shut myself away.
Yeah.
I isolate myself. And then I sit down and I create, and that is the only thing I can do. And I don't know why I do that.
It's so bad. There are some writers that just chip away at it every day and get it done.
I can't do that.
I can't do it either. But why? What's wrong with us?
I mean,
do you think we can ever get there?
Or is that just not our process? It will, because at some point my brain's going to shut down in the middle of the day.
Did you just take a nap?
No. I don't want it.
I want to be able to write a chapter a day. I can't stay in my story world in a way to create the types of things that I want to create to where it's painful, because that's how it feels. Like, this is a terrible metaphor, but it feels like you're constipated. Okay. And to get the words out and it feels that way. Like I literally feel that process of constipation.
I don't feel that.
Okay.
I feel.
And so you have to like get it moving.
Yeah. And then I feel the pressure, the insurmountable pressure of knowing that my editor is waiting.
Yeah.
My agent is waiting. Readers are waiting. My haters are waiting. Everyone's waiting for a piece of this diamond. Is it a diamond or is it a turd?
We don't know. Until it is a diamond.
Is it a lump of coal?
It's what that's what right? You deserve. Yeah.
Why? I've been a good girl.
No. Yeah. We both have been bad in terms of burnout. We've been awful.
Yeah.
Awful. You stayed up. You literally stayed up for several days in June.
Twice. And in July.
And in July, you stayed up for 4 days straight. And two of those, you didn't sleep at all.
Yeah.
And you sounded delusional on the phone.
I did?
Yes. Oh. She was slurring, y'all. But you got through it, but we shouldn't have to do that. And I don't know how to have a healthier relationship to the chipping away of the everyday getting to a goal, right? It's just like how I have issues sustaining like fitness routines. I can do it for like 3 days.
You're supposed to be able to take 30 days to develop a habit.
But in those 30 days, you're supposed to do it every day.
Yeah.
So do you think if I gave myself a challenge to write every day for 30 days, I could do it?
That's called NaNoWriMo.
I fail NaNoWriMo every time. I can do it for about 8 days.
Okay.
Maybe 9.
And then you just
and then out. I fall off, and then I'll come back at the end and do the push to the last 5 days through. Why, though?
I don't know.
Fix me.
Fix me, Daddy.
I didn't say that.
I did.
Yeah. Would you like which one? Pedro Pascal?
Yes. Yes. The answer is always yes.
There's another Lucido man that competes with him for your heart, though.
All of them.
All of them. But how are we going to get better? Let's just pick one thing we're going to hold ourselves accountable
to. Okay, one thing. Right. I think we're trying to be too ambitious.
Yes.
In our quest to find balance.
I have my one thing.
What's your one thing?
I need to challenge myself that when I say the word sabbatical, that I mean the word sabbatical.
Oh, yeah, because you've never taken a sabbatical in your life.
Excuse you?
She's like, sabbatical? I don't know her.
I had to take off a month when I got my liver tumor surgery.
And then you didn't. Because we went to France.
I was talking about the first time, okay, which was December 2018. And I did take that month off, though I did check emails. But I just didn't answer them because I'm obsessive. Obsessive, busybody, nosy person. So that'll be my one tangible goal for this year. To when my out of office goes up on 12-1, that my out of office is up on 12-1.
My goal is to finish all my deadlines and take my actual mini sabbatical in the first 4 months of the year.
I don't think it's going to be the first 4 months.
Why?
I think that you're going to get
an editor's letter. Yeah, but she's still going to have my book.
But you're going to get an edit letter.
At the end of those 4 months.
You think she'll respect your boundaries not to send you an edit letter before May 31st?
I think it'll take her that long because it's going to be a big book. It's going to be a long book.
Okay. Okay.
It's a matter of length, Danielle.
Okay.
Okay?
Not girth.
I never said that.
You gave me a look that let me know that you were thinking it, okay? One day, friends, I will release a video where Zoraida Cordova breaks down the difference between a cucumber and a zucchini. One day, I will let you see it in all of its glory so that you can witness what just happened. Okay, so maybe you can get this done.
I can do it.
Yeah, especially if she commits to not sending you your editor.
I have to see what the schedule looks like. That's what I'm saying. Help. SOS.
SOS. Like, that'll be interesting.
I just need it. I just need it. I'm so tired.
You want to break from answering emails too, or you want to break from?
I want to break from answering emails from Twitter and Instagram, and I just want to run away.
You don't get to run away.
I do get to run away.
No, you don't. You have friends. You have obligations to us. But from the physical act of writing, you want to break from. Mm-hmm. Will you still read books? Will you still engage in literature?
Absolutely. Okay. I would read everything. I would read the 700 books on my TBR.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I could do 4 months. I would have to. Europeans do this all the time. They're out. Bank holiday. I'm out of here, bro. Done. Mm-hmm. Out of office.
I had another baby. See you until I come back for 3 months and then have another baby and then I'm out again.
Exactly. And they don't even think twice about it. And I'm like, how can I get this kind of energy?
Move to Europe.
I would have to move to Spain. I would have, because I don't think England would break me of it. Because I think we got this work ethic from the fucking British. I think I'd have to move to Spain, where the middle of the day they shut shit down, or to the south of France, where they're like, what do you mean? Why are you emailing me after 6 p.m.? Mm-hmm. Why are we even talking about work at dinner? Like, I would have to be broken of this bad habit. Anyone want to rescue me? I will move back to France, even though French is really hard to speak. I need to get better. I need to practice.
We'll figure it out. Yes. We'll figure it out. I think, I hope our listeners will figure it out with us.
Send us your tips for how you deal with burnout, how you have boundaries, and don't allow yourself to have 8 espressos, which are sludge. 9 espressos. How do you figure it out? Mm-hmm. I have some writer friends who literally just write 500 words a day.
And then they get it done.
And I don't know why we are picking this route.
We didn't choose this life. The life chose us. Yeah. And then we chose the life.
And we chose
this. And the life is rejecting us, but mm-hmm. we choose it again.
Yeah. Well.
It's for the sake of it. It's for the sake of the books. And I think that maybe if we're putting out bad product, then we can stop. But I think, like, you know, I feel like I've done some of my best work under pressure.
Right.
But I don't want to get addicted to that kind of pressure. It's like being addicted to, like, oh, I'm only like those musicians who could only write when they were on drugs. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that because it's not sustainable.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And our bodies will shut it down
for us.
For us. And I don't want to have the consequences of that. I don't want to have a stroke. I don't want to, like, lose my ability to
create
because I didn't take care of my body. Mm-hmm. I lost sensation in my hand last year, remember?
Yeah.
Because I had like a sprain and
the beginnings of carpal tunnel. And you still had it in February. Mm-hmm. February.
Yeah, because, and so I had to like rehab it and all of that, all from doing the repetitive motion of typing. So it's time to take care of ourselves. I need to figure out how not to be burnt out. Do you think I can actually take December off?
Yes.
Do you think people are going to bother me?
I think I think our listeners should tag you and say, please take December off.
And drag me.
Yeah. But it's fine. I'll drag you.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be off 12-1 to
12-1. It'll be done.
Okay. I'll do it.
And I'll change your password. Give me the password to your email. I'll change it.
Oh, my God.
And then I won't tell you what it is. And I'll change the two-factor authorization.
Oh, my God. You're a monster. And let's see if you can. And then I also, let's see if you can take off the first 4 months of the year. I mean, the last May month is.
For you.
Is mine.
That's the fifth month.
Is that? Oh, yeah. I was born in May. So you should take a 5 month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to not work for a month, but if it's my birthday month, but I guess I could learn.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
It's going to be hard. I'm going to take my hike next year.
Where are you going?
The Camino de Santiago in Spain.
Is that the Saint Walk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Didn't we see it when we were in Aviles?
Yeah.
Part of it. That was the northern part of it?
Or? Yeah. There was like a, there's a road. We saw the little map.
Okay. I'll meet you at a spa.
Thank you.
Yeah. Where we'll have ham. Ham on.
Ham and wine.
Yes. Exactly. I love it.
Okay, good. So we've made plans.
Hold us accountable. We're
going to stick to them.
Let's see.
And then we'll just keep going because we have to ride on.
Ride on.
Mm-hmm. Ride on, bro. That's it for this week's episode of Deadline City. Thank you so, so much for listening in. Our goal is to demystify the publishing industry and count on listeners like you for your support. If you like what you hear, comment, subscribe, give us 5 stars, and share the episodes. Check out our Patreon and Ko-fi information at deadlinecity.com/support. See you next week, and for now, ride on.